Our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 Corinthians, these words, "For we know in part and prophesy in part." So our text, 1 Corinthians 13:9, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we simply cannot know everything." I'll repeat that. We simply cannot know everything. But what do we do then with that? With that fact, with that statement of truth, that we simply cannot know everything? Well, we use it. We use it normally in one of two ways. The first way I would suggest that we use the fact that we cannot know everything is to give up on knowing anything. We grab a bag of chips and we go watch Gilligan's Island reruns. I mean, if we cannot know everything, why should we even try to know anything? So instead of trying to learn something, we content ourselves with just keeping ourselves from knowing anything. By being occupied with some sort of pastime or entertainment or daily task like shopping at Cub. Living in this way, living in a way in which we no longer try to know anything because we cannot know everything, one day just passes into the next. Now, a second way in which we can use the fact that we cannot know everything is that we are prone to doubt anything that anyone asserts to be true. Because it just must be that some detail, some aspect, some part of what is claimed to be true was not fully investigated, not fully looked into or researched. That being the case, that there must have been something that was missed. How could anything at all be asserted to be true? Yes, truth exists. But since we cannot know everything, how can we ever be confident that what we believe to be true is in fact the truth? For isn't there always something missing? Something we do not know? Well, of course there are those who believe that each person knows what they know when they don't know what they don't know. Yes, no one knows everything, but everyone knows something, and what everyone knows, that is, each person is just a random collection of facts. That being the case, why should we worry about knowing any specific thing at all, or be judged by what we know or don't know? That was the theme of the 2008 movie Slumdog Millionaire, which featured the story of an untouchable, a member of the lowest caste of Indian society, going on India's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and successfully answering even the most obscure questions to win $1 million. Well, having done so, it was believed that he had cheated in some way. And so the movie lays out all of the instances in that man's life in which he acquired bits and scraps and pieces of information, trivia, which just happened to be what he needed to answer the questions on that game show to win $1 million. You see, it was just a matter of fate. Just a matter of fate that he knew what he knew. So another theme of that film. What we know and what we do not know, and whether or not what we know is of usefulness to us in this life, well, it's just by chance, by happenstance, by fate. But let's not kid ourselves here. This is an extremely important topic. For while Holy Scripture is the word of truth, as our Savior Jesus Christ is the truth, as He is the way and the life, the world would say that Christ being the truth, it just cannot be so. For how could one person embody all that there is to know? And Scripture is not the truth, so the world, for it certainly doesn't contain all of the information that the world has gathered together over the last 6,000 years. certainly critical scholarship from the time of the Enlightenment on has raised questions as to what should be believed in the Bible to be true and what should not be believed to be true. And since this is the case, since no one can know everything, and even that which we know should be a question, and what a person does know simply a matter of fate, what then do we do with the Holy Word of God? What do we do even with Jesus? Well, this really is not that difficult of a question to answer. It's not a difficult question to answer. And the reason it's not difficult to answer is what our text, that is the Word of God, the Word of the Holy Spirit, tells us, and that is that what we know is only a part of what we could know. What we know is only a part of what we could know. But even though we only know a part of what we could know, part of what there is to know, it's enough. It's enough. What we know about our Savior Jesus is enough. So to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul could assert that not only do we know in part, but also that his preaching was in part. That is, he was preaching what he knew with the full awareness that he was not preaching every last little bit of information that there would be to be had. For example, in order for us to daily grasp the reality of the forgiveness which is ours through faith in Christ, yes, in order for us to enjoy the riches of our life in Christ, the very Son of God, the Redeemer of the world, do we really need to know how tall Jesus was? Do we need to know his shoe size? Do we need to know his favorite food? What was Jesus' favorite hymn? Now, that is kind of the premise behind that series being made about Jesus nowadays, The Chosen. The Chosen, in which such details are filled in, the backstories of those around Jesus, the way Jesus was, what he was in feeding the 5,000, or walking on water, or preaching and teaching. For the idea there is if only we knew more about Jesus, if only we knew everything about Jesus of Nazareth, then we could easily believe in him. But such details about our Savior we will never have. And we will never have them not because they are a secret or that if we knew them we would stop believing, but we don't have such details because we don't need them. We simply don't need them. We don't need to know them. Like we don't need to know the exact chemical composition of the gasoline that we pump into our cars, or the specific strain of wheat that was used to create the flour that we have in our kitchens, or the name of the worker in China who stitched together our shoes. In fact, there are all sorts of bits of knowledge, that is, aspects of the truth of reality, that we do not need to know in order to live. Even more so, I would suggest, that the amount of information we don't have, even though we could acquire it, far exceeds that which we do. And yet, daily we live. We live successfully with that which we know in part. In part. It's only from hypocrisy that we link our faith in Christ to whether or not we can know everything about him. For there is nothing in this life, absolutely nothing, that we can know everything about, even ourselves. And yet, we do, in fact, live. Simply a trick of Satan to somehow connive us into doubt and despair that would drive a wedge between us and our Savior by raising the question as to what can and can't be known about him, and even about anything else in this world. For the truth is that we know in part. And what we hear preached about Christ is in part. And yet, like with life itself, it's enough. Now, does that mean that we know nothing? Of course not. Does it mean that we cannot verify historical realities? Again, of course not. The town of Nazareth, for example, in which Jesus was raised, it existed, it still exists. But we don't know which house Jesus lived in when he was there. That's just the way it is. The fact that Jesus was raised in Nazareth fulfilled biblical prophecy, and that is all that fact has to do. And honestly, if we demand more, again, that's on us. Eve was told that she should not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, and she was good with that. She could eat from all the rest of the trees, but not just that one. Satan then came along and gave her a backstory of sorts, some details, and with that further information, with more knowledge, knowledge that was false, and even knowledge she did not need to have, what did she do? Ate from the tree. So, are we uncomfortable, a bit uncertain, hesitant? Stumbling block for the intellectuals in Jesus' day, those philosophers in Athens who liked nothing better than to discuss the newest thing. The stumbling block for the Greeks was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For how could that possibly be? Who rises from the dead? Stumbling block for the Jews. Jesus did not do exactly what the Jews thought a Messiah could do. Thus, the gospel in general in the New Testament, the preaching of Jesus, Paul called what? He called it foolishness. And he called the gospel foolishness because the world, which just wants to know everything, understands that gospel does not answer all the questions that the world wants it to answer. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 could be mentioned here. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who's wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You see, if the gospel of Jesus, if the mercy of God which expressed toward us in Christ was a matter of knowing everything there is to know, and not simply knowing in part, and that part being enough, if the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvations were all about grasping and understanding and knowing everything there is to know, who would be saved? Who would believe? Who would have faith? Only those with a high IQ? Only those with a college degree? Only scientists, doctors, lawyers, that is, only those who are in the know and do know what it is they know? That would be like saying that only the rich enter the kingdom of God, for their wealth is a signifier that they are worthy of the blessing of God. But we do remember what Jesus said about that type of logic. And when it comes to knowing everything, the apostles of Jesus themselves, in their livelihoods when they were called, preached a different message. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. That is, he worked for a contractor employed by the government of Rome. Other disciples, it is speculated, were tradespeople. Theirs were not lives of pursuing knowledge for knowledge's sake, but of living life for life's sake. That is, of making a living from day to day to day to remain alive. And in their lives, they knew that everything was not to be known fully. Take, for example, Peter, Andrew, James, and John toiling all night and catching nothing. Nothing. They're fishermen. They fished all night, caught nothing, and yet following the command of Jesus, who wasn't a fisherman, caught all the fish they could possibly handle. Now, no fisherman hearing about that happening doubts the veracity of that story. For fishing is like that. We know that. The smartest and most experienced fisherman in the boat doesn't always catch the biggest fish. Sometimes it's the youngest, given a bobber with a worm and a hook, who hauls in the biggest catch of the day. The biggest catch without knowing at all everything that there is to know about fishing. Only that in order to catch a fish, a line has to go in the water. Our text again, for we know in part and prophesy in part. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.